Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
Welcome aboard the Athletic's Can't Wait Jets podcast, your nonstop shop for all things Jets with Tim McMaster, Zach Rosenblatt, and Marissa Dunn.
Can't wait!
As smoke engulfs the Northeast United States, organized team activities roll along at One Jets Drive. We are checking in here on the Can't Wait podcast. Tim McMaster, along with Zach Rosenblatt, our Jets reporter at The Athletic, and Marissa Dunn, our producer, who is still with us less than a month from the big day, or the big due date, at least. Please subscribe on YouTube if you're watching us there. If you're listening to us, give us 5-star reviews wherever you're listening. That really helps us out. Give us the thumbs up on YouTube. All that stuff will give you a great link to get a deal on The Athletic towards the end of the show. All right, we're going to talk about how practice is going, what Zach's seeing up there. We have a Quinnen Williams update. We'll talk about the offensive line a lot, too. And we want to get to a lot of your questions today. They're already coming in on the chat on YouTube, so keep them coming as we go along here. But first, Zach went to see Taylor Swift with Aaron Rodgers and 70,000 other people. Zach, your seat's not as good as the Jets.
Well, QB1. Well, I should say I didn't see it with him. I saw it on Friday. He saw it Saturday and Sunday, so I got the good show.
Oh, I was thinking he was the first show was when you were there.
No,
okay.
No, I was there on the first show, yes, and I think I got the best show.
He's followed you and saw how good it was. And
yeah,
he was
like, all right, I got it. I don't know if there's a lot of Swifties that listen to this podcast, but
there should be.
There should be, because she's the best. But she does two surprise songs on all of her shows, and we got Getaway Car, which is an elite song. So it was pretty amazing. I don't know if you guys remember the last episode, like towards the end, I was like, I'm trying to like win.
Yeah, trying to get a ticket.
And then literally I was napping a little before the show, like literally like an hour and a half before the show was scheduled to start. Get a call from a friend of mine asking if I want an extra ticket that he has. So I got to go for my friend's extra ticket. I sat up in the upper level, but we had a good view of the stage and stuff. It was an amazing show. And yeah, I it almost doesn't feel like I went because of the way I went. It was just like right before. But yeah.
Hey, you still got to go. It's pretty awesome. Yeah. I'm very jealous.
I am. My friend, Andy Vasquez, who covers the Jets for NJ.com, we had talked about going out that night out of spite for all the people that were going, like my girlfriend was going. and then I'm like, hey, Andy, I'm going. He's like, what? And he was very mad at me. So anyway.
I mean, it isn't just Aaron Rodgers. I feel like every stadium she's been at, we've seen football players from those respective cities. I think when she was in Foxborough, Mac Jones was there, Mike Gesicki, Hunter Henry. So
he's very popular.
No, the NFL's big Swiftie fans.
Yeah. Swiftie fan. Taylor Delgado no in the chat saying he'd rather us talk about golf than Taylor. But we tied Taylor into the Jets. So that's the key.
You don't mean that, Taylor.
Yeah. And we could give a funny golf tidbit that, you know, the air quality is terrible here in New Jersey right now. And guess who is out golfing and in this and thinks it's fine? Good old buddy Connor Hughes.
That's right. I'm not a big Taylor Swift fan. I'm a big fan of The National, though. Their new album that just came out has a Taylor Swift song on it. You know, she helped them out, and it's really good. So there you go. That's how I'm going to
carry it. By the way, this smog is like crazy. I wonder if they would have practiced. I don't know if they have practiced today.
The Yankees played last night, which is crazy.
But. Yeah, yeah. I know some people that were at the game, and they said they woke up the next morning like, did I smoke cigarettes last night? Like, that's how – it's still foggy outside. I like taking my dog on long walks. I feel like kind of like afraid. I'm not like scared to go outside, but I don't really want to take her on a long walk because I don't know what the effects of that are going to be. So.
Yeah, I wonder if the game will be played tonight. The Yankees play at 7:05 tonight.
I feel like they can't, but I saw one thing on Twitter. So, I mean, take it with a grain of salt. It could definitely not be true, but it said that if you spend 24 hours out in this current smoke situation, it's the equivalent of smoking 6 cigarettes.
Oh. That's good. I've never even smoked one cigarette, so I don't want that feeling.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, everyone, we hope our listeners are inside safe listening to this podcast, of course, and getting to find out all the news from OTAs, right, Zach?
Yes, exactly.
Marissa always bringing us back. All right. What are we going to do when you're gone, Marissa? We're just going to talk about Taylor Swift.
You're transitioned Tim for a reason. I think it'll be just okay.
All right. And with that, Zach, let's check in. We'll start with, you know, practice yesterday because that's where we were. So let's go through a little bit. One big thing this week. Carl Lawson has reported to OTAs. He reported on Monday, and the guy is, get ready, he's in the best shape of his life. We just love saying that. But cut fat, added muscle, and one key, I guess, he's talked about keeping flexibility as well, but he seems primed for a huge year, 2 years now removed from the Achilles.
Yeah, I mean, he's in, like, his arms are huge. Like, he really put in the work this offseason. His press conference was interesting because somebody asked him about, like, how he feels about how his career's gone, and he says how, you know, he feels like he could have done more, but he also had to take a step back and realize that, you know, nobody's ever gone through as many, like, season-ending injuries as he's had and come back from them. You know, he's accomplished a lot. He's got this big contract from the Jets and all that stuff. So he's like, he's tried to, like, have some interesting perspective about, like, how his career's gone, but he also knows that. A big thing he said, he wants to make the Jets feel like they made the right move, like paying him as much money as they did. He said, you know, they gave me, like, generational wealth. They let me do, you know, my grandparents are in a retirement home. I bought a house for my parents. He said, I can spend all my money on anime because he's obsessed with anime. And he wants the Jets to feel like they made the right move because, you know, so far he hasn't necessarily lived up to the contract. I think he had a better year last year than people give him credit for. Especially because he wasn't 100% the entire year. He was still battling it. He was still hurt when the season started. He didn't miss a game. He didn't miss a practice. But yeah, you know, he has 1 year left on his deal. He took a pay cut that includes a bunch of incentives. He pretty much guaranteed that he's going to get 10 sacks this year. So he's feeling pretty good. He looks the part. I think he's going to have a big year. They're really deep at defensive end, so he doesn't need to play 70% of the snaps, which maybe will help him. But yeah, you know, I think he's a guy that's kind of flown under the radar a bit this offseason because I think the only way he was being talked about before, even on this podcast, was as a potential cap casualty because of the way his contract was and what their cap situation was. Instead, he's back, and I think he might have a sneaky good year. And if he gets 10 sacks, he'll probably make the Pro Bowl too. So it's hard to get a lot of takeaways from OTAs and minicamp. They're not even going to have a minicamp, I guess, which we can bring up briefly. But they're doing very light practices. It's not like they're hitting each other. It's not like they're playing with pads and all that stuff. So it's hard to take away a lot. But I think the way Carl Lawson looks and the way he's moving is one of the biggest positives.
You mentioned the pay cut, and it sounds like from his attitude and the way he's talking, that maybe was an easy conversation with the Jets because he's a guy who clearly he said he wants the Jets to feel like that this money was spent wisely. So he was probably like, you know what? Let's restructure this. Let's make this right so that this team can be what I want it to be. And, you know, with the incentives, he's still going to probably, if he has that kind of year, make most of it anyway.
Yeah. And I think he said something yesterday. Well, not I think he did. He said something about how Aaron Rodgers being here, he felt like it was like almost preordained, like that he was going to play with him. So the pay cut wasn't that big of a deal. I think there's something about how they've crossed paths over the years and stuff like that. But, Rodgers has had that effect on guys just wanting to be here, I think. So, I think Carl is going to be like an X factor for this team. If they can get that production coming off the edge, you know, Quinnen Williams is going to get a lot more attention this year. He already got a lot of attention last year. Didn't really bother him much, but if they're doubling and tripling Quinnen and that frees up Carl Lawson to go and get the quarterback, I think that'll be a good thing for everybody.
Yeah. It just needs to finally get there. That's always been the thing with him is the rushes are there. The pressures are there. The sacks aren't necessarily. So we'll see how it goes. All right, let's switch to the quarterbacks, which is where we usually start, but I thought the Lawson stuff was really interesting. Aaron Rodgers back at it after the calf injury, which was indeed a minor thing. So good to see him out there. Not fully participating, though, right?
Yeah. Salah said he didn't want anything where there was any risk of him, like somebody going at his legs or anything like that. Because in 11-on-11, they're not hitting each other, but like the defensive end are still trying to get to the quarterback kind of thing. So it's more just, you know, out of risk management. It's not worth it this time of the year. But yeah, he was out there for 7-on-7s, all the other drills. You know, I think he's shaking off a little rust, but he's still, you know, the calf is still, I think, bothering him. I don't think it's serious or anything. But yeah, he was back out there and getting some reps with a lot of these guys, which is huge, especially for the receivers and the tight ends and the running backs and stuff. Yeah, it was. So we finally got to see him throw. You know, OTAs are going to be done on Friday, or at least for us. I can't remember if they practice at all next week on their own or not, but on Friday's last day, we'll be there. So we finally got to see him throw the ball in person right before the end of it, which was I think I might have said this on the last episode. It kind of made me laugh that there was such a huge media contingent at those first two practices that were there to see him, and then he wound up not throwing the ball a single time. Because the crowd's been big. It was still big again yesterday. It'll be big again Friday. I'll probably
wait till training camp, man. Can you imagine what it's going to be like out there?
Well, actually, I got somebody from Vanity Fair reached out to me because they're doing a story on Aaron Rodgers or something. I don't know if I'm supposed to tease this or not, but they wanted to ask me about like how it's changed, like the coverage and people being there and stuff like that. So it's definitely been different. I would say for me, every single press conference, 75% of the questions being about what's it like having Rodgers in the building has gotten old to me personally.
Yeah, that doesn't take long. Yeah. Everybody has to get that story get it. Written.
Yeah,
I'm sure the players love getting asked that now.
Yeah.
They get
probably better than talking about themselves though.
Sure. Yeah. Well, it's a different player. It's not like we're getting guys a second time. So
right.
A lot of these guys have their own, and they're telling good stories and what he's doing behind the scenes. But to me, let's move forward. Let's talk about the season.
Looking for an assist with your credit card, but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Let's talk about Zach Wilson because we have to do that as well. It's funny following these workouts via Twitter and like as the quarterbacks progress from thing to thing, like Zach Wilson looked great in this drill then it's like Zach Wilson 1 for 5 to an interception in this drill, and it's just like, even though he's the backup now, I feel like people are still just like affected by that stuff, right? Like they just, I mean, if you like basically if you go into one of Zach's tweets about, it doesn't have to necessarily be about Zach Wilson, but if his name is in there and you just jump in the comments, it's it's crazy.
Well,
so how's he looking?
You put it a great way because it's like the progression of a practice. So, I had a tweet, which I know you want to talk about, but I watched the quarterbacks doing this drill where they were throwing the ball into a net after a bad snap.
Yeah.
Zach had the worst completions and attempts out of the whole group. That wasn't the point.
Yeah, so you had Rodgers 3 of 5, Wilson 1 of 5, Boyle 3 of 5. And then the reason you tweeted it that some people missed, I didn't, of course, Chris Streveler 6 for 6.
Yes. he was on point with all those. But yeah, so the reaction was, of course, how Zach Wilson looked in that. Some people did react the right way and said that Chris Streveler is the QB1 and Rodgers is washed kind of thing. But so you start with that, and then we go into 11 on 11s. And 7-on-7s, and I think Zach Wilson completed like 8 passes in a row. And so you have the fans who are pro Zach Wilson, however much you could be pro Zach Wilson at this point, I guess, as a fan, that were getting excited about it. And then in 7-on-7s in the red zone, he was like 1 of 4. 2 of his passes were pretty bad. And then all of a sudden, all these, I have a lot of fans in my mentions flipping out that they need to sign Teddy Bridgewater. This is why they needed a veteran backup, blah, blah, blah. So it's, I'm very curious to see how it goes in the preseason games.
I was just going to ask that. Like, yeah, how much do you think, like, the preseason is all Zach Wilson?
Yeah, it'll be, right? I mean, imagine, like, I'm excited, like, I could see, Rodgers, I think Rodgers, like, will probably play like a series for like the first couple, right, maybe. But I don't know what they'll do for the Hall of Fame game. I've never covered one of those, but
maybe, yeah, a quarter. Do you think like Boyle or Strebler, like,
yeah, they'll still get snaps. I think they're going to try and, my personal opinion is they're going to try and give Zach as much as they possibly can.
Right.
You know, how much, you know, maybe, I don't know. It depends on how his training camp goes. Like, do they want to showcase him for other teams, or right, do they believe in developing him? Because if it's for showcasing him and you're scared he's gonna have a bad game, then maybe they pull him back a little. Like, I don't know. There's a lot of ways to look at it. But yeah, the preseason is gonna be the Zach Wilson show, and that's why it's kind of fascinating. Because usually preseason is kind of pointless, but
yeah,
watching him and seeing what he looks like is gonna be big. Because I can react to what I see in these practices, but ultimately, you know, I don't really know what they're planning on each play and each drill and all that stuff. So it's hard to like fully evaluate him. I would say he's been inconsistent, though. I think one area that it does seem like he's going through his progressions at least, which is positive. I don't know if he's going too much through them where he's like missing things and he's been a little inaccurate at times, but it's too early to evaluate him where he's at. The preseason is like I said, is going to be very fascinating with Zach for sure.
It is. And the fact is, like, if you look at the fact they have a 40-year-old starting quarterback, right? Zach's going to start a game this year.
Rodgers.
It feels like the chances of Aaron Rodgers playing 17 games.
Considering he strained his calf in practice from like stretching.
Right. So. Maybe it's different if they get off to a slow start, but if they get off to a good start and he has like a minor injury, right? You're going to be cautious with Aaron Rodgers, yeah, just to make sure you have him when it counts.
Well, although I would say it's probably Aaron Rodgers' call no matter what. Yeah. But he's pretty much a coach. So. but yeah, I don't, that mean, you know, I mean, odds, it's hard for anybody to make it through a 17 game schedule. Like,
yeah,
like the odds are Zach would play at some point. So, and he's their number two backup, and you know, Teddy Bridgewater is out there. I don't think they'll sign him, but as long as he lingers, then I guess you at least have that possibility if you need it down the line. But yeah, I think they still believe in Zach's ability to be the number two quarterback at the very least. So we'll see what that means. And if he has a bad training camp, if they still believe that and all that stuff. But yeah, that's the situation they decided to go in the season with. And you have a 39-year-old quarterback and you have Zach Wilson as your backup. And that's the risk you're going to take. The reality is most teams, if you lose your starter, you're in trouble with the backup. In theory, Zach has a higher ceiling than most number twos.
I mean, he is the number, you know,
number two.
Your backup
pick
is a, yeah, former number two,
yeah,
pick.
Recent number two overall pick. Yeah. So,
yeah.
In theory, you know, he should be one of the better backups in the league, but we'll see.
We will see. All right. Let's talk about the offensive line. Now, obviously, so Becton and Brown not practicing right now. So that makes it, you know, you can't take too much from this, but the way they lined up on Tuesday for practice, right, was Mitchell, left tackle, Tomlinson, left guard, Wes Schweitzer in the middle at center, Vera Tucker at right guard, Billy Turner at right tackle. Because Brown and Becton aren't practicing, let's focus on the middle of the line and mainly center, because, right, Schweitzer's there, but center's a position where they have options, and it seems like all those options right now are getting work.
Yeah, they're getting reps that it's going to be a legit competition in training camp. You know, we've seen Connor Montgomery get snaps. We've seen Joe Tippmann get snaps. I think ideally they want Joe Tippmann to win that job because you don't use a second round pick in a win now year, especially when your first round pick wasn't a win now pick. You don't use the second round pick on a guy that you don't play. So I think they want him to win the job, but, you know, McGovern will have every chance to keep, it's his job. Tippmann's going to have to take it from him. He's had that job as a starter the last 3 years. He's getting paid like a backup, which, you know, is interesting, but so I think that's gonna be one of the more interesting position battles that they have. Those are two good options. At least you have, you know, quality options, I think, which is better than having a bunch of like average guys compete for a starting job. And then Wes Schweitzer is a veteran guy who can play guard and center. I think he's gonna be their top like swing backup on the interior. So they have pretty good, I think they have better depth this year across the board on the offensive line. you know, they claimed Yadni Kajust from the Patriots a couple weeks ago. He's offensive tackle, started like 7 games in his career. He's a former like third round pick. You know, they signed Billy Turner. They have Max Mitchell coming back, Mekhi Becton coming back, Tristan Colon they signed. So they have all these veteran guys. And I think Joe Douglas is trying to guard against the disaster that happened last year where everybody got hurt and the offensive line was a bigger disaster than it should have been. And I think that's why, you know, I think fans expect them to make a bigger splash on the offensive line this offseason. But I think their splash is just everybody being healthy in this group playing up to how good they think they can be. I think Dwayne Brown played pretty well considering he was playing with one arm essentially. So if he's healthy, I think you'll see an uptick from him. Even at his age, he's in really good shape. He's determined. We talked to him a couple weeks ago. He said he never actually considered retiring, which, you know, the Jets kind of played it off like he was considering it. I don't know if they thought he might be considering it, but he said as soon as the season ended, he knew he was going to keep playing. He said he has something left in the tank still. He said, you know, he wants to the one thing that he doesn't have on his resume is winning it like the whole thing, and he thinks this team can do it. And so he's back. Robert Saleh loves him, and I think I'm pretty confident he'll be their left tackle, and then the rest is up for debate about the rest of the offensive line.
I was going to say, the other thing Dwayne Brown doesn't have on his resume is right tackle, which brings us to the next thing, which is Mekhi Becton continues to make it clear that he thinks he is and wants to be the left tackle on this team. Brown was asked about moving to the right side, and he basically said, I haven't really done that. I haven't practiced that. And Robert Saleh has basically been pretty consistent in saying, like, doesn't really matter what Mekhi says, like the best players are going to be out there. At some point, is this going to kind of come to a head, Zach? Or do you think that Mekhi is just trying to be confident, and when it comes to the end of the line and he's moved to the right side or wherever he's moved to, he just kind of says, okay.
I mean, he'll have to. I think you can read between the lines.
He can do it. He can do it crying, right? You know what I mean? Like, yeah, he can do it as a good teammate.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, I find it interesting the way Saleh's answered these questions. I think you can read between the lines or read the tea leaves or however you want to say it. You know, when he's asked about it with Mekhi, he's like, well, Mekhi has to go and earn it. You know, it's not his job. You know, it's going to be a competition. When he talks about Dwayne Brown, he like smiles. He talks about he's a warrior. He said yesterday, he's like, it's going to be hard to knock him off his spot, like saying that it's going to be hard to take his job away. And, you know, he said Dwayne Brown's going to have something to say about that when all the questions about Mekhi saying he's left tackle came out. You know, and Saleh had a comment, and I don't know if it was a shot at Mekhi or not, but when I asked him about Dwayne Brown last week, Saleh said something like, you know, he doesn't complain. He doesn't feel like he just deserves anything. He goes out and he earns it. And it's hard not to take that as a shot at Mekhi, who kind of has done the opposite, where he says, I want this. And he has, to be honest, not done anything to earn that job. So whether talent-wise, he might be their best offensive lineman. But and then so at right tackle, and I think a part of this that, you know, is maybe being overlooked is that I don't know that Mekhi is like a lock to win the right tackle job either. You know, Max Mitchell was pretty good last year before he got hurt or before he had his illness. Billy Turner has been a veteran in the league. He's been a starter for Nathaniel Hackett for like the last 3 or 4 years. And Mekhi hasn't practiced at all in OTAs. He's coming back from his knee injury, which happened in training camp last year. So it's a slow recovery. Clearly he's in great shape. Lakin Tomlinson, I think he was being serious. He's like, somebody asked him about the shape Mekhi's in, and all Lakin was like, well, he's wearing an XL tank top now. They're like, what? He's wearing an XL. So, for a guy that's 6'8", and I saw a report he was like 360 or 340 or something. I forget what the exact number was. That's pretty impressive. I don't know. Maybe it's tight on him, but he's in really great shape. I don't know. Like I've said on here over and over and over again, I view Mekhi as like an X factor because talent wise, he has a higher ceiling than anybody in this group because he's a freak. He's huge and he's athletic. And he played really well before he got hurt as a rookie. If he can stay healthy, which he hasn't done yet, like that, then the offensive line is at its best if he's one of the starters. But, you know, he doesn't want to play right tackle, and he hasn't really shown that he can yet because he hasn't played in the NFL. And there's a lot of other factors going on here. But I'm not 100% sure he's going to be the starter in week one. If I was guessing right now, I don't know if I would even guess him because I haven't seen him practice. So,
do you think he'll play a lot in the preseason?
Yeah, if he's healthy, he has to. Because it's not like you know, maybe a year ago, you're trying to like, you know, avoid him getting hurt, but they need to see what they have and what he looks like and how, you know, he's lost a lot of weight. Does he still have the same power and strength that he did before he lost all that weight? So yeah, he's another, you know, there's a few guys that I'm going to be fascinated to watch in the preseason. There's going to be one of the more fascinating ones between him, Zach Wilson, you know, this rookie class, Will McDonald, to get a lot of reps. Jermaine Johnson, he's a guy that has looked really good in OTAs. He's a guy that I think you kind of want to take a leap forward. Like, there's a lot of guys that have a lot to prove, but Mekhi and Zach Wilson are one and two, whatever order you want to put them. So,
all right, there'll be plenty of time to talk about the offensive line. I feel like it's going to be a weekly conversation on this show once we get into training camp and how it's all playing out and if people get banged up and all of that. On the defensive line, Quinnen Williams still without a contract, although Salah spoke again on Tuesday. And I mean, say what you will, he comes across, Zach, as very confident. I mean, Salah said it's, quote, it's going to get done. He'll be here for camp. He'll be ready to roll. I mean, he's not couching it all, right? Like, that is a statement that you look bad if it doesn't get done after you make that statement.
Yeah. Very true. I will say it will get done. Like, I don't have any doubt about that.
I guess not the will get done, but the second part of that. He'll be here for camp.
Yeah.
There was a comment in the chat too that was another perk about canceling mini camp.
I thought about that yesterday. Yeah. Because now he won't be skipping.
Required. And, yeah, yes.
Yeah. Getting fined and all that stuff. So they don't have to deal with the awkwardness.
Keeps everyone happy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I haven't heard that they've gotten any closer than when I wrote that story a few weeks ago. I still think they're kind of stuck in a spot where, and I don't think it's a money issue. I think they're in disagreement about, you know, some aspects of the structure of the contract. And, you know, until they meet halfway or they meet, you know, Quinnen's demands or the Quinnen meets the Jets demands, I still think they're going to be at a little bit of stalemate. The Jets don't feel like they're in a rush. Yeah, I don't anticipate them holding out in training camp. You know, if it gets to late, mid-July, because they'll start earlier. We haven't gotten an official start date yet. But if they get to mid-July and they still haven't signed the contract, then maybe you can start worrying a little bit. But if he's there on day one, then Quinnen, his effort will be good and he'll be a good player for them. And he just might not be happy. And, you know, when he talks, he might take some shots at the front office or whatever. But, you know, I think the goal is to get it done before training camp. But I don't think the Jets feel rushed even now.
All right. So that's the latest. And we'll keep an eye on that. And obviously, when that deal gets done, that'll be any emergency podcast type situation where we'll hop on here.
Well, by the way, Ed Oliver just signed a big contract too for the Bills. Yep. Not as much as Quinnen will make. I think his was like more like $18 million a year or something like that. But it's just another defensive tackle that he's from afar being like, he got paid. Why am I not getting paid? Kind of thing.
Seems like they've all, everyone's gotten paid.
I don't know if there's any defensive tackles left to get paid besides Quinnen at this point.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's the little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms or restrictions apply.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
All right. I want to leave plenty of time for questions. So let's jump right into it. There's been plenty of stuff coming in the comments section. Marissa, what's going on in there?
All right, so we have to start with this one because there's been a lot of talk on Twitter. This comes from Ragna Jet, but again, lots of people ask this. Is there real interest in Dalvin Cook from the front office?
Yeah, I think I've been tweeting more about Dalvin Cook in the last few days than just about anything. I haven't heard anything about that. I saw some rumblings on Twitter. There was a lot of stuff about them looking at drafting a running back early in the draft. There were unsubstantiated rumors about them being interested in Ezekiel Elliott earlier in the offseason. That was not true. They were not interested at all. I think quite the opposite. I think they were almost offended that they were suggested that they were interested. So, you know, if you look at if they actually were considering Jahmyr Gibbs in the draft, then I guess it would make sense. But, you know, with how confident they've talked about in Breece Hall being back in week one, not only week one, Saleh, you know, maybe I'm not going to comment how I think about it, but he basically is like, I don't even think he would need to be limited in training camp. We will limit him, but I don't think he would need to be. And this is a guy coming off a torn ACL. So they seem pretty confident that he's going to be healthy. So I don't know if you want to go and trade for Dalvin Cook, who, you know, they would probably have to renegotiate it, but he has a $8.3 million base salary for this season. It's all guaranteed. Next year, his salary is $10 million, but that's almost all that's not guaranteed. So $8 million is a lot to pay for a running back who would be, I mean, it's not a lot if you believe in Dalvin Cook, I guess, but you're trading draft picks for a running back who does seem to be on the decline. Like, I don't know. I guess I would get the idea because you're in win now mode and he's a very talented player who, you know, is a good pass catcher and maybe would pair well with Breece Hall. But I don't think that the Jets value the running back as highly to do something like that, unless it was, again, low cost. If you can trade him for a mid round pick and he takes a pay cut, then maybe, but I don't get the impression he wants to take a pay cut. I think that's why they've reached this stalemate in Minnesota. So I don't see it happening. I wouldn't say it would absolutely shock me if it did, but I'd be surprised.
Okay. All right, our next question is from Edward. I like this one. Which rookie will have the biggest impact this year on offense and on defense?
Which rookie will have the biggest impact on offense and defense? On offense, I would say, Joe Tippmann is the obvious one. I do think that Izzy Abanaconda is going to play a pretty big role for the offense this year, though, and I'm excited to watch him in training camp. But yeah, I'd say Joe Tippmann, just because if he's the starting center, then he's going to be pretty impactful on that offensive line. Defensively, let's see, we have Will McDonald. You have the sixth round linebacker. You have the sixth round safety. I guess Will McDonald, I think he's going to play a pretty big role as a sub package pass rusher and maybe more than that. I'm not sure how ready he is, but yeah, I'd say Will McDonald should play a pretty big role this year.
Okay, speaking of linebacker, this one from Dan. After Mosley and Quincy, who is the third linebacker?
Yeah, you know, Quan Watch is still going.
Yeah, that's also another question. So yeah, we can Quan tie Watch. Those two together. Alexander update.
I mean, if they haven't signed him by now, like I don't know what exactly they'd be waiting for. They have the cap space now. And he would only be probably a minimum. So right. Maybe there's just not as much interest in bringing him back. And so until they do, or unless they do, you know, again, Joe Douglas has signed veterans right before camp in the past, even if it's not Quan Alexander. So I wouldn't be shocked if that happened down the line. But, you know, as of right this minute, I'd say Jamie and Sherwood would be the leader in the clubhouse. They really like him in the building. He's a guy who I thought was going to play a bigger role than he wound up playing last year. He's young. They developed him. He's pretty athletic. He came in one game when CJ Mosley got hurt briefly, and I think he was okay. They drafted Zaire Barnes in the sixth round. I don't see him playing a lot this year. And then they have Hamza Nasir-ul-Din still, and I don't really see him as a guy who you want to put in on defense. So I think as of now, Sherwood would be the odds-on favorite, but it also wouldn't shock me if they signed a veteran of some sort.
All right. Okay, sticking on defense, do you think we will be as good in the interior with so many defensive tackles moving on from the team? Will new additions plus JFN and Clemens possibly moving inside more be the same level? This was also from Edward.
Yeah, you know, in terms of defensive tackle, Ulbrich, for the first time, it was the first time anyone on the Jets admitted this, was he basically admitted that they were going to play JFN and Clemens more inside. Michael Clemens, I think it was 270 last year, and he's at 290 per Ulbrich, which is a pretty big jump, and that's, he's pretty big. He's really like chiseled and doesn't look like he wears 290 very well. Like, he does not look like he's 290, but I think they're going to play more of a role inside than they did this year. And then you'll see more, you know, Carl Lawson, I think, and Jermaine Johnson, to me, make sense as the two guys that will get the most snaps. And then you have Bryce Huff and Will McDonald coming in on passing downs kind of thing, or with some, you know, as an extra pass rusher, because I don't know if you always want to take Carl Lawson off the field kind of thing, but they just have, it's a good problem to have that much talent. In terms of the veterans, they have Al Woods, they have Quentin Jefferson. I think those guys will rotate with each other. Al Woods is more of a run stopper. Quentin Jefferson is more of a pass rusher. So they have a lot of depth. They don't have like a stud next to Quinnen Williams necessarily, but they have a lot of like solid players. And you know, I think Sheldon Rankins is a big loss, but I think they're going to be okay on the D line.
All right. We have one more question, and this is from Alex. And this is a pretty big question. Is Saleh's job on the line if they don't make the playoffs this year?
Yeah, I think that's pretty safe to say. Both him and Joe Douglas, I think, especially how much money and capital they're spending on Rodgers. If they don't make the playoffs, it's possible Rodgers retires after that. And it was,
yeah, I mean, everyone's gone.
Well, that's why, like, you know, we did a AFC East roundtable for The Athletic a couple weeks ago. One of the questions was, like, who has the most pressure in the division? And I think it might be an instinct for people to say Aaron Rodgers, but I actually think Aaron Rodgers doesn't really have any pressure. I think, you know, he's kind of playing with house money at this point. You know, it's more Saleh and Douglas, or Saleh in particular, are the ones that are under pressure, because if this doesn't work, everything they were saying was that they needed a quarterback. And if they got the quarterback and they missed the playoffs, then there's going to be a lot of people losing their jobs. And whereas Rodgers, you know, he's already had a great career. He's won a Super Bowl, MVPs. He's getting his money is $60 million no matter what. If he has a bad year at the Jets, it's not going to impact his legacy in any way. So,
got to go see Taylor Swift two nights in a row.
Yeah. Did you see the video of him with the confetti, like acting like the won the Super Bowl?
Hanging out with Miles Teller, with
his buddy Miles Teller. Yeah.
Yeah.
And Paul Rudd one night too. So I do respect that. I'm like that much closer to meeting Paul Rudd for the first time, I think. You know what that means.
That much closer.
That much closer. Yeah. That's someone who I'd be starstruck with. Anyway.
I met Paul Rudd
when
the World Series was in Kansas City.
Oh yeah. He was like on the field thing with him.
And so it was kind of like it was a hello. We didn't have a discussion.
He just seems like a gentleman.
He was great in everything that they did with. He was kind of like MLB ambassador while the World Series was in Kansas City.
Well, he's like the most famous Royals fan now, because he's always like down there. There was the one when I think it was the year they won where they were interviewing him on camera, and he was like, there's a party at my mom's house.
He's a big Chiefs fan though too, right?
Yeah, big Kansas City.
Across the board, Kansas City.
Yeah. Hey, who knew that we would start talking about Paul Rudd on this podcast?
Exactly.
I love it.
Like pretty much wraps up the questions. It's going to be an interesting summer, that's for sure.
Yeah. Maybe we'll do one more before Marissa gets off next week, and then
next week's it, right, Marissa? I mean, next Friday is your last day.
It's my final week before maternity leave, and I will be returning January 2nd, which hopefully will be for a playoff push.
That would be great.
If not, then
that would be an elite. That would be like when a player signs with a Super Bowl team right before the playoffs, kind of thing. Like that would be like an elite return. But hey, guys,
we bring back Marissa. Yeah.
Yeah. So
the production value goes through the roof of the podcast again. After I limp along for 4 months.
Yes. I'm expecting that and my Eagles podcast. It would be very
Eagles Jets. Let's do it.
Yeah, wouldn't be.
Where's the Super Bowl?
I forget. I've looked at this a few times.
You should know this. It is in
Vegas.
Zach, you haven't
Vegas.
Oh, it's Vegas.
February
Zach,
11th,
you haven't bought your tickets yet. You haven't booked. You haven't booked travel yet.
You're right. I should. Yeah.
Vegas. That'll be a fun one. That stadium. That'll be cool.
Yeah. That'll be
Jets are there this year. Yeah. We've talked about that.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sure that will be a fun road trip for people if they're looking for an away game to head.
Someone just had a comment about Paul Rudd. I just want to shout out. She said he owns a candy shop. She thought in the Catskills. I went there when I went to the Catskills a few weeks ago. I forget what it's called.
Hoping he might be there.
We just went there knowing him and Jeffrey Dean Morgan owned it, like she said. And
that's
we went there.
Cool.
It was a cool little shop. It was a little overpriced, but it was really good.
Cool business venture.
Yeah, exactly.
Awesome.
So there you go. Right.
Hey, if you want to join The Athletic, you can always go to theathletic.com/can't wait, but we have a special deal going on right now as well. $19.99 for a year in honor of graduates. And it was Mother's Day. That has passed. But Father's Day is coming up. So in honor of that, you can go to theathletic.com/gift sale. That's all one word, gift sale, for $19.99 for a year. We will be back, I guess, next week, unless Marissa's not with us, and then we'll probably wait. But so
unless the baby has arrived.
Right. Oh, true. Yes.
But we'll see. But She's got a little more cooking to do.
Again, no mini camp for the Jets next week. So
yes,
very happy over Quinn here. Quinn and Williams and whatever happened.
The Browns finished up this week too. So it going into the Hall of Fame game, the two teams in the Hall of Fame game, it makes sense. They're guys because they're going to report to camp a little early. So
yep,
yeah.
All right, that'll do it. Thanks for joining us on the Can't Wait podcast.
Hey, football fans, this is Diana Rossini from The Athletic. Get the top stories in pro football snapped directly to your inbox with our latest NFL newsletter, Scoop City. Jacob Robinson and I will bring you the daily scoop of top NFL articles, posts, and podcasts every Monday to Friday. Sign up for free now at theathletic.com/scoop.